Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is Tuesday, April 16th. The Yankees are still in Toronto. We're talking to Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees. Let's do it. Let's talk Yanks.
Talk Yanks with old John Boy.
John Boy and Jay.
Recaps galore. Weekly awards.
Jay.
Stat lines, steam and hot takes. Get your Yankees news from these two fine dudes. It's time for Talking Yanks.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jay.
Hello and welcome to Talking Yanks, brought to you by SeatGeek. Thank you very much for joining us today. My name is Jimmy. BBD is here, producing away. Jake, missant, an empty chair, vanished, gone. Jake had an appointment that ran late, so he's not here. So I just ran the Boone chat, bantering with Boone, solo. First time I think we've done that. Jake had some good questions prepped on the sheet. A really good trivia question by Jake prep that Boone refused or did not refuse to answer. You'll have to find out. And, you know, I wanted to get into it with Boone about the defense and about some of the relief pitching. And I wasn't sure how much he was going to allow that to be a combo. Like, usually we prep a ton of questions. This time I was like, if that could be the meat and he allows us to chew on it a little bit, he didn't. So we had to pivot.
He didn't give us nothing. Talked about it, but
he didn't disregard it.
How we thought.
Yeah. Outs above average guy.
Interested in
IKF's off the team all of a sudden.
Outs all above of a sudden average. That matters.
How about that? Well, it's brought to you by DraftKings. The 82-game preseason is in the books for the National Basketball Association. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code YANKS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code YANKS. Only at DraftKings. The crown is Jake's.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's just get right into it. Jake might be here after the Boone chat, or he might not. Stay tuned. Welcome back to another Bantering with Boone. Just myself and Boone today. Although Jake, he may run in halfway through. I'm not sure. That would be pretty fun if he does, and we'll have him ask you questions, see if he can guess which ones we've talked about or not talked about.
That'll be
his task. Two losses in a row, Boone. What the hell? It's first time I think we're chatting after two in a row.
Yeah. I mean, obviously a tough loss in Cleveland where it's kind of a back and forth battle and, you know, just couldn't hang on in the end. And then last night, you know, I mean, Chris Bassitt just, you know, credit to him. He kind of shut us down there and, you know, Luis obviously struggled with command and strike throwing, but you know, was able to get us through five and keep us in the game and give us a chance. We just couldn't mount much yesterday.
The doubleheader happens and then you guys change. Is that when the Luis Gil plan comes together? Because you get Poteet to be the 27th man? And what was the thinking behind pushing Gil?
So we could have kept Luis on Saturday with Clark Schmidt because obviously then Clark gets bumped, but then we wouldn't have gotten through our rotation before the off day. So, and you can't access a 27th man. you know, on Wednesday. So we would have had to, you know, option a pitcher and come up with something for Wednesday. So it lined up pretty well for us. And, you know, and with any of our pitchers, but especially Luis, you know, anytime we can get an extra day or two, and, you know, as he's coming back from, you know, being injured a year ago, you know, you take that.
What was the pitch calling? I missed the post game, so I don't know if you talked about it already, but you know, the broadcast and our text messages were like, why isn't he throwing the slider? Was that don't show it first time through, get to it the second time, or was that he didn't think he exited the bullpen with a bad feel for it, or what was going on? Do you know what was going on with the pitch calling?
No, I mean, it was, you know, it's always a pitch. It's probably his third pitch. You know, but I think the biggest issue for him was just not being able to be in command. And you know, so he's backed into a corner some. And, you know, I mean, one of the takeaways is obviously, you know, we need to get better from a strike throwing and you know, getting in the zone more and dictating more counts there. But, you know, there's also a takeaway of, you know, look what you just went through out there, and you're able to get through five innings against a good offense with only three runs allowed. It's a testament to how hard you are to hit. So, you know, the critical nature of just being in the strike zone more regularly. And you know, with that, there'll be given days where the slider's a little more usage, but the changeup's probably his number two pitch right now, and certainly the best feel for it from a secondary standpoint.
All right. I get it. The slider's pretty good, though, in my opinion. The changeup is nice. He had one back-to-back fastball, then changeup to Turner. And you're like, hey, that's what happens when you throw strikes in the zone, because that was nasty tunneling, as they say. Did you freeze? Or are you just pondering in deep thought?
Looks like a freeze.
Oh. Back? Yeah. Did we freeze? Did you freeze?
I froze. I don't know. It all froze.
Okay.
So what was the double down the line or the single down the line by Kirk? Was that a slider or changeup? I think it might have been a slider.
Yeah, I think that was a slider. He came out throwing sliders the third time through, basically. He opened up the third inning with, like, three sliders in the first four pitches, and then he did get got on one.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, he got a little bit better towards the end. I think he got I think he got tired at the very end, and that last hitter was kind of going through on fumes a little bit. But, you know, he kept at it. And the biggest thing is, you know, my message with Luis is, man, you gotta live in the moment and the next pitch. You know, I think we've seen him get a little bit, you know, frustrated out there, and that can leak into, you know, the next three pitches. And, you know, you gotta just focus on execution and remembering, like, it's a good testament to how difficult you are to hit. Like, you've got elite stuff when you're in the strike zone consistently.
Yeah, it is noticeable sometimes he wants a lot of the pitches, all the pitches. Bassett had a couple where he was frustrated as well. So I didn't think it was egregious, like, umpiring last night. I didn't really notice that.
No, I didn't think so either.
Yeah. Get my thoughts together. I'm going to ask a fun question, and then I'm going to ask a question that I actually want to have a conversation about, see where you're at with. Have you been barking in the dugout? Have you barked yet?
I have not been barking.
Okay. Do you enjoy the barking?
I do. There was one the other day when Rizzo fouled the ball off his foot. You know, it took a few seconds to kind of gather himself, but you could tell it hurt, you know, foot or shin or whatever. And right away, Verdugo starts barking, but the whole bench starts barking. And, like,
it's a tough spot for Rizzo. Yeah. Dogs don't get hurt. Oh shit, that's funny.
It was pretty funny. I enjoy it. It's definitely a little rallying thing, and you know, something that's kind of brought the guys together on.
Does anyone have, like, a standout bark?
I don't know that. I just kind of hear it off to the side a little bit.
Unfortunately, I come from a long line of barkers. My dad and my grandpa, they just would drive around neighborhoods barking at other dogs, sounding like dogs. So. The O'Briens, wow. We have a, yeah, I could probably do it. I don't. They're a little nut job. Anyway, yeah. The real conversation I want to get into today, and I want to see where your head's at, is the infield defense. There's been a lot of errors. There's been flashes of good. Like Volpe, I think, has looked really great. I think he's actually looked really aggressive. Rizzo is the one that stands out because right now he's, you know, Rizzo. He's got a long tenured career of being an outstanding defenseman. And some of the plays that we've seen him make forever just haven't been made this season, and it's a little odd. Is it something that you talk to him about, whatever talk to him about, or like, you know, what do you got on, what's going on there?
Not really. It's like, you know, tackling your daily work, you know, defense, you don't associate like offense in that you can get in a little bit of a funk over there. You know, when you're playing at a really high level, you're just playing free and easy and confidence, and you don't make a couple of plays that you're used to making, you know, you got to kind of work through that. But I mean, it's been one of his calling cards throughout his career, and I'm confident will continue to be. You know, he's missed a couple scoops that he would normally make. It's part of it. You kind of work through it, and it's just a few plays here early that are, you know, part of the weirdness of baseball. But I'm not worried about Riz at first, and I think his body of work, when we look up at the end, will be excellent.
What about the rest of the infield as a whole? There's, I think every position has two or three errors now. And then there's been just a lot of double plays not turned that, I don't know, I assume would be turned. Mm-hmm. We threw one away in that Cleveland game, and then Volpe ate one because he had an odd transfer on it.
Right.
That seems like something you'd love to clean up as the year goes on.
Yeah. I mean, Glaber had the one, what was it, Friday, the first game of that doubleheader, you know, where he had the easy step on the bag and just threw it away, and obviously not something you want. So, I mean, got to complete the play. And then, I mean, the one where on the transfer, the Naylor one, a great play by Glaber to kind of lay out and actually put a great throw, and then just in a play where you got to be perfect on the transfer, He didn't make the transfer clean. You know, Volpe coming across the bag, but you know, Volpe's obviously been phenomenal so far at short. Overall, like when we look at our I'm confident our infield defense is going to be, it's already been a strength. I think outs above average, I think we're in the top five in the league right now. You're going to get DJ back in the mix.
Are you an outs above average guy now?
No, but I saw it.
Because I like outs. I like for infield. I like that.
I think it's one of the pieces of the pie that's interesting. Like it's tells a little bit of a story. I think we're up there pretty high on that. So I think we're an excellent defensive infield team. We've made a few mistakes, part of it, especially early, small sample, but actually in a small sample, I think we're kind of pretty high in the league overall infield defense.
Yeah, they got Volpe at two outs above average. Birdie, he's not with you right now, but one. Glaber one, Rizzo minus one, and Cabrera minus three. I think Cabrera's missed a couple easy ones, which I actually love his ownership of him afterwards. Just he's been like, not my bad, sorry. But he's also made some nice plays. And Birdie made a couple really nice ones to his right, which helped him.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, Oswaldo's an excellent defender, and over time will be, especially at third. Birdie, like you said, that's in line with who he's been in his career. DJ, when he comes back, I would expect to be an excellent defender. Volpe continues to do his thing. So, yeah.
My concern with the defense is compounded with the bullpen right now. It is very weird for me because it's not a strikeout bullpen. The Yankees bullpen has the second lowest strikeout rate in all of baseball, 17%, and the lowest with two strikes. So we're not putting them away with two strikes. It's more balls in play, which leads to
back to like, of course you want it all. You want this, but we're making an argument like our infield defense is actually good. Okay. Is actually good. to this point, and I think we'll even be better. So I think we're a team that should be equipped to, you know, hopefully take advantage of that. But also, hopefully, as time goes by, we do get some more swing and miss as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's a lot of sinker sliders, and sinkers are ball and play pitch. So it is a little by design that the bullpen, what Blake's got everyone doing is, you know, that pitch is designed for ground balls, which leads to defense. So I'd like both to grow. And you're right, we do want everything. Like,
yes,
you guys win your first five series as fans, okay, we're going to be a playoff team. Now we're going to nitpick even more.
Right.
So
and that, you know, and frankly, you know, as a team and as a staff, you're always trying to gain every advantage and edge and improve on the margins, you know, as the season continues to unfold.
With Birdie going down, until DJ's back, your roster, your lineup's kind of set as far as starters go. You know, Birdie was getting the starts versus lefties. We saw that in the Marlins series. Is Waldo basically a starter here until at third base?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. That's awesome. I love his at-bats and his presence in the mound this whole season. How could you not? How do you navigate when DJ comes back? The last we heard was he's going to have a rehab assignment soon, maybe after this.
Yeah, I would expect probably sometime this weekend he would start that. We get back from Toronto tomorrow. We have the off day Thursday. So I think DJ's looks like he's trending to be ready to play in games, you know, as early as this weekend.
And then usually you don't give away too much when we get ahead. But when DJ returns, if everyone else is here, what's that rotation? Have you even thought about it?
It's still a ways off. So
okay.
The season will declare itself to you all the time. So we'll just, I'll be excited to get, you know, obviously DJ back with us and a really steady presence with us and, you know, and then Birdie behind him to where, you know, hopefully we get more and more whole as we go and the bench options become better and all those kind of things.
What went into Stanton not playing game one in Toronto? Is that turf and not wanting Judge out there for three in a row? Or is that matchups?
Yeah, so it was just basically, yeah, not wanting to have Judge play all three on defense. So I'm picking one day to have him. And then what's the best day probably for, you know, Grish to be in there, lefty today, Kikuchi, Gausman tomorrow, you know, more neutral, you know, Bassett's probably the biggest, you know, split guy they have from the three we're going to face this weekend. So just picking that day. And then want to be mindful of not overdoing it and being smart with Stan too, you know, is because I feel like he's in a really good place too and want to keep that going.
So Stan will be in there today. Will he be behind Judge again? Same lineup Kikuchi pitched to at the home opener?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That was an interesting game. That was right before Stan started going, and Kikuchi's curveball neutralized Soto and Rizzo pretty nice. He had a nice sharp curve, and then he walked Judge twice to get to Stan.
Kikuchi's, you know, he's been, you know, back half of last season pitched really well, and he's off to a really good start this year too. He's throwing the ball really well. He's tough when he's on because he's got that, you know, he's got real four seam that he can pitch up with, but the secondary stuff is real too. So, you know, he's a challenge, but hopefully this time we can have better success with him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of traffic last time. I think twice they pitched around Judge to get to Stanton and the inning ended, but now Stanton's been gone going since then. So I hope they try that again and it gets thrown right in their faces. And then there's a shot of you laughing in the dugout.
And, Big G, even these last few games, he hasn't got any. He hasn't got a lot of results. But I felt like the Cleveland series, the two games there, like, man, he was kind of on everything, just missed a few balls that he hit, you know, for flyouts. So feel good about where G's at. Hopefully he can catch one today.
When you moved Glaber down and you brought Volpe to lead off, you had said it was more to give Glaber kind of a rest. He was pressing. his underlying stats when he was at leadoff were actually pretty good. There was the quality at bats were there, the pitches per plate appearance, and he was getting on base every game via walk or single. He just didn't have much more. Since moving, it seems he's pressing. Like, in my opinion, it seems like he's those underlying stats have tinkered the wrong way. Do you think there's any way he's pressing more now? Trying, because he was like in leadoff mindset. To me, it felt he was taking pitches, grinding. Now he's swinging a little more, and he still hasn't found second base on a hit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably least worried about Glaber offensively. Like, Glaber's going to hit, and he's been close all year. I do feel like right before I moved him down that weekend, I could feel him chasing results a little bit. He and I even had a conversation about it, and Glaber's going to hit, man. Like, I'm not worried about it. And once he gets going in the middle of our order, you know, I feel like there's going to be that opportunity to drive in a lot of runs, and he's on that short list of guys you want up when he's going well. So he's close. You know, smoked a hit last night again. You know, it's just he's getting there. It's one of those things where you're early in the season. What are we, 17 games in? Where, you know, even really good hitters and good players, you know, you're not off to quite the start you want. You feel that a little bit, and you got to just really focus on the at-bat. So I do feel like he's doing a pretty good job of that, and I do feel like it's a matter of time, but he's definitely not a guy I worry about over the long haul, like, of what he's going to be offensively.
It'd be nice to pop an extra base hit sooner or later so it doesn't become a bigger thing in his head. Did you have a season where you had to wait a long time for first homer, first, like, double, and it just became a storyline, at least for you?
I had a number of seasons where I got out of the gate a little bit slow, you know, that kind of 4 for 30, you know, whatever. I don't remember a long home run drought or extra base hit drought necessarily, or like being a thing, but there are a handful of seasons where you got off a little slow.
All right. I think he changes. There was a vlog where Glaber did where he changed his bat weight. I don't know if it's true, but in spring training, he put out a video and he changed his bat weight to lighter, faster swing.
Right. I think he's in line with what he's been using.
All right. Would that be something that you would want to or care about if guys were changing equipment? Or do you even know? Like, do you know? I have a genuine question. Do you know, like, DJ uses a heavy bat, Judge uses this, or is that not your alley?
I'm somewhat familiar what they all use. And actually, we're getting way into, you know, as an organization, you know, bats and, you know, how you measure it and different swings. And, you know, is there a way of, you know, saying this guy should use this kind of bat and those kind of things. So interesting stuff that getting into.
Did you use the same bat your whole career? I think Jeter used the same bat his whole career.
Yeah, he did. No, I switched. I even switched, length and weight in the middle of my career. And yeah.
Would you ever switch based on a matchup? Is that anything any player does?
Yeah. I used a certain type of bat against righties and a different bat against lefties.
It was different length or weight?
Just different balance, kind of.
Okay.
Different structure of the bat.
What you used against Wakefield? Do you remember?
Yeah. So that was at a time. So what, I was kind of 34, 32, the first several years of my career. And then in 2002, I got off to a terrible start. The first month and a half, 2 months of the season was really struggling. And I grabbed Adam Dunn's bat on deck going up there. I'm like, let me try yours, which was, I went from 34, 32 to his was like a 34 and a half, 31 and a half. I flew out, hit the ball pretty well and started using it from there. So I was 34 and a half, 31 and a half to 32 ounces. So a little longer, but a little lighter. And then when I got to the Yankees and I was using that, Bernie actually got me to use a little heavier bat. So I went from like, I still had 34 and a half, but I was using more like that 32 and a half ounces. And then when I left the Yankees, I got hurt, missed the year, came back the rest of my career, I was kind of in that 34, 30, 1.5, 32 ounce.
All right. Alfonso Soriano was, he used heavier bat. It was heavier than it was long. It was like a 32, 34, 34, 36. Yeah. Or something like that. I remember that.
It always looked crazy. Big too.
That was pretty wild. Yeah. Trent Grisham gets on base and then gets thrown out.
Yeah.
He's now been on base twice and he got picked off and then stolen. For his mindset, you just give him like the red light next time he gets on. It's like, let's keep it clean. Or do you give him the steal sign and say, let's do it?
Yeah, we play the game. I mean, okay. It's depending on the matchup, like you don't put your head in the sand. You don't turtle and Grish ain't afraid. So we play. We gotta play the game.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'd rather just steal to get there.
It's not give them the steal. It's if it's the right spot and we get the right jump, then yeah, we're not going to run from that.
In the loss on Sunday, there was the Glaber bunt to bring up Verdugo, which I actually, in lifetime and retrospect, I still like that move. I'm a fan of it. It's a bummer because Glaber can hit. But Verdugo doesn't strike out. He puts the ball in play. And three runs versus two is so different.
Yeah, I actually liked it, obviously. You know, once we're up two there and with Verdugo behind him, that's going to put it in play. Feel like if you can get a third run there, that's a big deal. And, you know, obviously Doogie hit it right on the ground and Naylor made a pretty good play. So, I mean, I think there's a case both ways on that, but I had no issue with it.
I mean, if it's the second run, if you're up one, I don't think I'd like it, but I think you sell out for a third run in extra innings the way it is. So a home run can't tie the game.
Yeah, I agree.
I had no
problem with it.
So stands back, Judge in center, and then that's the lineup. Trevi hitting the home run, banging a lefty, and then the hit off Class A. Pretty nice. See him get going.
Yeah, definitely. That was a bolt he hit. That's a big part of the ballpark where he hit that ball out, especially when kind of cutting across a little bit. That was good to see. And then, getting us going against Class A there.
You guys have Class A has a blown save against the Yankees 3 years in a row now. So I kind
of. Yeah, we've done a pretty good job of getting it because he is, you know, he's on that count on one hand, probably of the game's best at the back there. And, you know, guys, they've done a good job against him and getting to him a little bit.
I think he's awesome. I think Cashman should try to trade for him. Okay, agree or disagree? It would be nice. There goes.
He's a guard.
All right. Jake has a trivia question for you that he texted in.
Okay.
He said, what's the name of your brother who played Major League Baseball?
I'm not answering that.
Okay. I thought it might have been a too personal, but that's what he said. My trivia question was going to be, what's the name of his brother who played Major League Baseball? I said, I'll ask. That's all I could do in that scenario.
Brett. That'd be Brett.
He knows he's been making him too hard.
Yeah, you made him too hard recently. All right. Well, let's go win the series the hard way. Six in a row. First time since 2010. Our first time since a long time, actually. Five in a row was 2010.
Try and get one tonight, and then we'll go from there.
I'll take both. Like you said, you guys are – we're getting greedy now as fans. We want it all.
Coming out this weekend?
I don't know. Maybe. Should I?
Sterling Saturday.
It's great. Yeah. We were going to open the show with his call of your walk-off, but he was, like, doing dual play-by-play, and he actually wasn't doing play-by-play. So
Charlie Snyder.
Yeah. He did say the one sentence was, how beleaguered can a player be? Which I had to Google that word, but it's pretty good. It means you were in a tough spot. All right. Thanks, Booney.
Thank you. Take care.
See ya. And there you have it. That was Bantering with Boone, episode number XX. You insert the number once you figure it out. Jake's still not here. Just me and the Biebs. I thought that was fun. It was, I don't know. He didn't disregard the issues as much as I thought, although he did say the infield defense is actually a plus, and I think the relief pitchers not striking guys out might be a benefit. But I think he knows deep down, hey, it's a little bit not what we want.
Thinks it will be where it needs to be. I think that's genuine, but
I do believe him when he says he's not worried about Glaber. And I think Glaber's a little bit earned that. I think he said that one last year about Glaber going up and down in the order. Like, I'm not worried about Glaber's approach to the plate. Glaber hitting, I'm not worried about. So I hope that holds true. Everything else seems pretty good. I think I need Stanton to get Kikuchi tonight. I don't want him to walk Judge.
Go a long way.
And then to go to Stanton again, which they did. They did last time. That wouldn't be fun.
Last time they were able to just like straight dodge him.
Yeah.
And judge, that is. And
yes, they just walked. He just walked around Kikuchi. The equipment conversation, he seemed to be into that. Some guys like equipment stuff. Some guys don't. He had a lot of bat changes.
Yeah. I like hearing the stories of how that happened. The actual measurements don't mean a whole lot to me once we get bigger than like what I could have used in high school. But
that's similar to high school numbers, right? Like 32, 34, 32,
like different 32, 30,
whatever it is. Yeah, there's because you can
weight it kind of however you want.
I'm very dated. Would drop three, right? Yeah.
That was what I had.
That was what a high school was, right?
Yeah, and I never played in a wood league.
I remember when my brother was playing, he was 11 years old, and they had drop 12s. And me and Jake did like a home run derby with those bats, and it was just like, this is so stupid. We get hit it so far. It's like spring.
You can swing real hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. Well, all right. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We'll be back. Anything else Boone gave us to chew on? Not really. I really want to get into.
A thing we hadn't considered with the heel Poteet thing was that like, they were going to need another starter at some point this week.
Yeah, and so they would have had to option someone.
Using Poteet as the 27th man was just the easiest choice, and you don't have to sacrifice anything. Because
the doubleheader day, you get to bring up a pitcher, and the other days, you would have to option someone to bring someone up. So it does make a lot of sense. I thought there was more. That makes it like, okay, there's no other choice.
Like,
I thought it was more skip him, save him a little bit. Or, like, maybe we want Heel to face Toronto and not Guardian. It was none of that. It was just strictly,
like, side benefit of, like, giving Heel and Rodon, like, one more day, sure. But
twice now, Boone has mentioned that Heel needs to stop letting perceived missed calls affect him on the mound. Which is, for Boone on this show, that's a little bit of, like,
that's a
poking a little bit. You know, hey, he needs to stop that.
Yeah, and
that's
like
an issue,
and like while our chat was going last, like we're seeing it now. The book on Heel has always been like, I don't know if he throws enough strikes to start. That's like what his minor league scouting report has been. So we're getting to see a taste of it. Boone's talking about it a little bit, hoping he cleans up because the stuff's nasty and like fun.
Yeah, it seems like when he misses the zone, he blames the ump. Or a missed call is definitely, you can see it irking him.
For a guy who like already potentially struggles with command, clean that up.
Yeah.
Your reaction to stuff is all you can control, you know?
When DJ comes back, that's very interesting. But it is wise of Boone to really not think about it until
it's like within a couple days.
Yeah. I think it just fucks Judge out of DH days because I think when DJ comes back, DJ, Stanton, Glaber, and Oswaldo Cabrera are in a funky, you play 3 days and then you sit platoon where Glaber would go to DH and DJ would play the field, or DJ would DH, Glaber would play the field on Stanton out days when Stanton's in, just one of Oswaldo, DJ, and Glaber will sit.
Yeah, they like haven't done this, and I guess they haven't had an ability to do it yet anyway this year, but even last year, like Rizzo, DJ being back would open up like one day off a week for Rizzo.
It seems like Rizzo could use a day off.
Yeah, he, like the
railing ball was odd.
Railing ball is odd. It seems like he could use a day in general. And like Rizzo is getting old in baseball terms. Like getting him a day off is not crazy. One day off every week. He has a history of
back stuff. So yeah, that's also helps them out.
I think it would open up the chance to do more of that.
Wow. Which does change the lineup a lot, and I like how consistent it is right now. But
yeah, it would change the consistency, but it's a good reason to be able to change it. So
We'll get there when we get there. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe to the channel if you have not. We'll see you for the series recap on whatever
tomorrow,
it is.
I think tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Go Yanks. Tell them, Grams.
Go Yankees.
Slap ball tonight. Me and Jake on the call. Warehouse Games.
Playoffs this Sunday, so catch up now, and you'll be caught up.
Ooh, Jake Pants the ref.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.